Today we're going to start a two-part sermon on trusting God's timing. How many want God to move? Amen. Let me ask you one more time. How many want God to move? We want God to move. Do we really want God to move, though? And sometimes we're like, I'm waiting on God to move. I've heard a lot of Christians say that phrase before. I'm waiting on God to move. I want God to move. God, we want you to move. We're waiting on you to move. And today, could it be that God's waiting on us? Could it be that God's waiting on us to move? Maybe God's already moved to the point where he says, now it's checkmate, man. It's you. It's your move now. It's your move now. I'm ready to move, but I'm waiting on you to make some steps. I'm ready for you to make a few changes. I'm ready for you to come boldly after me. And so today we're going to talk about timing and how God moves. And some of you may be thinking another way. I'm here to tell you this message is going a wholly different way. It's going a totally different way than what you're thinking right now already. Because I believe today that God is wanting to move. And God's timing is different. I want to kind of show you how God moves in Scripture. Let's go ahead and first of all jump into a couple of opening texts, and then we're going to jump right into this. 1 Chronicles 12:32. Look what it says. It says, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives, all these men. What happened? They understood the signs of the times, and they knew the best course for Israel to take. I pray that we would have some men and women of destiny who would say, you know what, I understand the time we're living in. I understand the times that we see things happening. We sense in our spirit over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we sense in our spirit that God's really wanting to move in a different way. God's really trying to push us to a different level. We're sensing in our heart that God's pushing us to move deeper in him. God's wanting to move, and we knew that now is what's the best course. How do we get there? How do we move with God? How do we move with the Holy Spirit? I love this next verse in Hosea 10:12, which says, I plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest the crop of love. Pile up the hard ground of your hearts, for when? Now. Let's all say it together. Say now. Now let's say the whole phrase. Now is the time. One more time. Now is the time. One more time. Now is the time. Now is the time to seek God. Now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. You know what the best phrase that Satan likes to use? It's not now. What is it? Tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. I mean, how many Christians have we heard, tomorrow I'm going to change my life. Tomorrow I'm going to do something for God. Tomorrow I'm going to go deeper in God. Tomorrow I'm going to give this up. Tomorrow I'm going to pursue God. Tomorrow I want God to move in my life. And if we're not careful, tomorrow becomes next year. Next year becomes the next decade. And it never happens. Why? Because Satan gets us to buy into, I'm okay where I'm at. And just, you know, be comfortable living my life in this little shell that I'm in. And tomorrow I'll maybe break out of my shell a little bit. No, now. See, people who understand the move of God in your life, you understand that now is the time that God wants to move. Let me say again. Now is the time that God wants to move. Now is the time for us to plant new seed in our life. Now is the time to break up the hard soil. Now is the time to harvest. Now is the time. See, God is a now God. He wants us to realize now is the time. Quit waiting. But the problem is this, is that, you know, we had a certain view of God, especially of Jesus. We had a certain view of Jesus. Now, how many know our view of Jesus probably starts with baby Jesus, right? We hear stories at Christmas of baby Jesus coming in the manger, and it's pretty cool because, you know, obviously, he didn't come to scare us. He came so that we could relate. So he came as a baby so that you and I could understand and we could comprehend that. But he didn't come to scare us, so he came as a baby. And he grew up in this world. And so most of our ideas of Jesus start with baby Jesus in the manger. And then they fast forward about 30 years until Jesus enters into public time of ministry. And we see about 3 years of Jesus' life in the Gospels unfold where Jesus is doing miracles. He's calling his disciples. He's doing these great teachings. And then we see the crucifixion and the resurrection. And our eyes and our knowledge of Jesus and really our picture of Jesus is really limited to that. And so when we're praising and worshiping, we see baby Jesus growing up, you know, he's resurrected. We see the brown hair flowing, you know, and in the wind, he's walking on the beach with his disciples now with nail-scarred hands. Or maybe he's holding the lamb and he got the spotlight behind him. You know, the pictures you've seen everywhere hanging on your grandma's wall. Anyway, whatever your picture is of Jesus, or maybe you got a picture of a black Jesus, whatever it is, Pastor TJ, we've all got these pictures. Come on now, you know, we've got all these pictures of Jesus in our mind, and really they're wrong. Let me just tell you, they're really wrong. I mean, they may have been a short time in Jesus' life that he looked like that, but his beloved disciple, John, had a vision. Now, John was the only one who wasn't martyred. Remember, all of his disciples were died because they were Jesus' disciples. They were killed. They were martyred, put in prison, killed, flocked. Some of them were crucified upside down. Remember all those things? And so many of them were all killed. But John was the only one, John the Beloved, who wasn't killed. And John the Beloved was very close to Jesus, one of his inner circle. And we see a passage of Scripture where John begins to be taken to heaven, and he paints this picture for us in Revelations of what Jesus really looks like. Now, this is going to blow your mind because Jesus doesn't look like the baby Jesus, okay? He's even different. Let's look what John had to say in Revelations chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. As he describes Jesus, look what he says. His head and his hair were like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. His voice, it thundered like a mighty ocean waves. He held the seven stars in his right hand. A sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. That's why the word of God is sharper than what? Any two-edged sword, because it comes from the voice, the mouth of God. It says, as John saw the picture of Jesus, he saw a picture of a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. He said, his face was like the sun. I mean, how many remember as a kid when you would dare your friend to see who could stare at the sun the longest? Anybody ever play that game growing up? That's why you can't see now. That was dumb. You can't stare at the sun. You go blind, Donnie. That's why I need glasses now. I played a lot of stupid games growing up. But it ruins your eyes. Why? Because you can't stare at the sun very long, right? And this is what the picture is being painted here of Jesus, man. His face was like the sun in all its brilliance. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Those things don't change about God. God says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I'm the first and the last. Don't be afraid. But see, we come in, God, we want to see you. God, we really want to see you. We pray those prayers. God, we want to see you. God, we want you. Holy Spirit, come. You know, you're welcome in this place. We sing the songs. But Pastor Joe, I don't think we really understand what we're singing. Because you realize if God really showed up in all of his glory, we wouldn't be sitting here like this. We'd be sitting here like this. Boom, right here. This is what happened to John. He gets one look at Jesus. Boom, he's on the floor, on his face. Why? Because it was too much to take in. It was too much to take in. And if we really understand that God is so much bigger than our minute mind can comprehend, he is so much bigger than what we really think. When you really begin to get into the presence of God, when God really begins to move and show himself to you, even a little glimpse of him begins to say, no, 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 man, I'm flat before God. Why? Because I realize he is everything, I am nothing. That's why Scripture says every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that he is God. Even atheists are going to bow before God. They're not going to understand. Boom, they're going to hit their face. Well, he was the Son of the living God. That's why the demonic, 6,000 of them at one time, boom, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do we have to do with you? Leave us alone. You see, people, when you really get a glimpse of who Jesus is, it's more than just the little locks blowing in the movie. I'm telling you, that man, he's bigger. His fire that comes from his eyes. His sun is like, his face is like the sun. His hair glows. That's why when he showed himself to Moses, remember he had to cover Moses' face. Just let him see just a little small portion of him. I mean, just a little bit from behind. And Moses saw it, and it says that it changed, just the radiance from that changed Moses' appearance. His hair began to turn white. Haven't you seen Charlton Heston, his movie? Come on. His hair turns white. One glimpse, boom, you get white hair. So what I'm telling you is this, is that God is so much bigger than what we're comprehending. He's so much different than what we're trying to think. And God wants to move. And his timing is so much more sovereign than we are. His timing is so much more sovereign than we are. And he wants to move. And all he's waiting for is for the right timing. And that timing many times depends on us. Depends on us. What are we going to do? God's timing is different than us. He has a set time. We see the children of Israel were held captive for 430 years. Why didn't God set them out before that? Why didn't God raise them out before that? Why did he make them wait 430 years? Well, God had to wait until he could call out a man who was willing to go, the Pharaoh. And then God had to wait for a people who was tired of being slaves. You know, you can be a slave so long you're not tired of it anymore. You can be a slave of your sin. You can be a slave of living with the trash to the point where trash becomes good to you. You don't even realize you're living with trash. You know what I'm saying? We can live our life in a way where we don't even get tired of it. But when God really wants to move in your life, man, he has people who raise up, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of living captive to this addiction. I'm tired of living captive to this bondage. I'm tired of living captive to this abuse. I'm tired of living captive to what happened in my past. I'm tired of living captive to this, and I'm ready to be set free. And then God raises up people who are ready to be used. And oftentimes, the people God raised up were not the people you and I would raise up. I mean, think about it. He raised up the harlot woman. Remember her? She's running the brothel. She's running the brothel, and then she saves the spies who come in to look out and scout the land. She saves them from being killed. And then when she comes back, I said, tie the red sash out here so we'll know why here's what's going on. Do all this. So when we come to your house, we know that to leave your house alone. And her whole house was protected, and she became a hero known to the whole nation of Israel because she hid. And God used this woman who was running the brothel. He pulled her out. See, God uses a young shepherd boy in the backside of a desert to kill the Goliath. He uses the old stinky fisherman to call and say, come, follow me. He even uses some doctors in the house. Hear what I say? He even calls some doctors. He calls tax collector, businessmen. He calls all of us and said, come and follow me. Have you ever seen fishermen before? How many fishermen we got in the house? Raise your hand if you like to fish. Bill, I'm preaching to you today now. I was raised with a bunch of fishermen. I mean, I would just tell you this. Fishermen, there ain't nothing clean about a bunch of fishermen. You get a bunch of fishermen together. My dad used to fish at a place that was really public, and all these guys, there'd be like 20 to 30 guys out there fishing at the same time. And I can tell you, I cannot repeat the things that went on out there. I can't repeat the language. I got a lot of schooling done at a young age out there. Dad's like, couple of years, son, you know? I mean, I had some of the craziest people. We had a man by the name of Henry. He didn't have a tongue. This is no true story. Did not have a tongue. So all the old men told me that one night he was fishing by himself. And he witnessed a burglary gone wrong. And they cut out his tongue so he couldn't tell who did it. Had me believe it. Tubby believing his whole story. And he'd be catching the fish and be like, hey, you couldn't understand anything he said. True story. I mean, fishermen, they messed up people. I'm telling you. I'm telling kids these stories. But that's who Jesus calls out. Hey, you, get up. Follow after me. You see, God's looking for addicts. God's looking for ex-prostitutes. God's looking for doctors and lawyers and tax collectors and teachers and people who've committed adultery. God's looking for people who've been divorced 5 times. God's looking for people who say, get up. I want to use you. Will you let me use you? And God uses many times those people to do the work that religious people won't ever do. Because they got too much religion in them. So God's got to raise up somebody else and say, I ain't got nothing to lose. God, it's all or nothing with you because I ain't got nothing to lose. And so God will raise up people, and God's looking. So his timing is he's waiting for people who want to be used of God, and then he uses people who are wanting God to move. God, we're tired of staying in the same place. God, we're tired of staying in the same place. And I sense in my heart that the God is raising, stirring that within us here at Destiny. That God's saying, you know what? I'm looking for somebody who's ready for me to move in a community. I'm ready for looking for somebody who's saying, God, we want you more than anything in our life. God, we want you to use us to reach people. We want to partner with other churches. We want to partner with our community and go out and reach and make a difference. God, we want the Holy Spirit to burn in a place where people come and saying, what is going on at this place? See, God's moving the hearts of people. He's raising up people who are ready, tired of being held captive. See, God's got a strategy. He's got a strategy, and we see this happening all the time. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Say, God's timing is perfect. So why hasn't he moved? He's waiting on us. See, God's waiting on us to move. Many times he's moved. Now he's waiting on us to move so he can make the next move. So let me give you some signs here. Let me give you some signs of wanting God to move. Let me say, first of all, before I share the rest of this, that Pastor TJ did an awesome job last week. Pastor TJ, awesome job on the message last week. I always love hearing him speak, and he always ministers to me personally, and I love it. But oftentimes when I ask him or Pastor Justin or any of the staff, when I ask them to minister, I may say I'm in the series. You can teach over, you know, anything in a series or anything you want to do outside that. But last week, I had already finished up that series, so I said, just preach whatever you want. I didn't give him set guidelines. He didn't go over his notes with me, so I had no idea what he's preaching. And so as I get into this today, you just realize the Holy Spirit's speaking, threading all this together. That's the way the Holy Spirit does it. He brings it all together, and he's stirring something up within us. And so just keep that in mind. As he talked about, let it burn last week, as we get into the first point of this message, God's timing is perfect. How do we know God wants to move? Because God builds a Holy Spirit fire. God builds a Holy Spirit fire. When God's wanting to move, he'll cause a Holy Spirit fire to begin to burn in people's lives. He actually allows us to burn deep within us. Now let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 3. We're going to spend the rest of our time in Exodus chapter 3. Let's read the first two verses of this verse. It says here, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Now this is Jethro the high priest, not Jethro Bodine, okay? Want to make sure. All you Clampett fans out there. Okay. Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led the flock far into the wilderness and came into Sinai in the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. So we see this thing happening where the fire is burning from deep within, but it's not overtaking the bush. The fire is coming out of the bush, but the bush is not burning up. So it's a pretty cool thing here. Imagine you're out there taking care of your garden, you're doing some landscaping, and all of a sudden one of your bushes catches fire, but it's not burning up. It's just flames shooting out of the green bush. I mean, it's just there. It's coming out, and it's like, it's not overtaking it. It's not charcoaling it. It's not doing anything. Just flames are coming out of this bush. And so, see, there's something that happens. God appeared to him like a blazing fire. God appeared to him like a blazing fire. Let me tell you, that's one of the ways God comes to us. It's like a blazing fire. You ever feel like a blazing fire is burning in your heart? Ever feel like a blazing fire is coming in your spirit? This is God drawing us to him. It will burn, but it doesn't consume. Now look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, this is amazing. Duh, Moses. Pretty cool, isn't it? Moses is like, this is amazing. He said to himself, why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. I must go see. See, God's fire is trying to do something. When God lights a fire in your heart, in your spirit, whether you're feeling it here on a Sunday morning or you're feeling it on a Tuesday, whatever it is, when you're feeling that God's fire burning within you, God is trying to get our attention. See, he set a fire to the bush to get Moses' attention. Hey, that bush is on fire. I better go check it out. I better see what's going on over there. See, God sets the fire within us to get our attention. Many of you here, you're feeling that fire of the Holy Spirit on a Sunday like today when we're having strong worship and the presence of God is very real in the house. And you're like, Pastor, I don't know exactly everything I'm feeling. But I'll tell you this, it's like burning in me. That's the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, a long time ago, when I was first surrendering my life to Christ, that I didn't have a lot of Bible knowledge. And man, I've learned a lot over the last 22 years of ministry, and I'm still learning. I'm still understanding truths and understanding that. But one thing I remember more than anything was this, Pastor Joe, was a fire in my heart. When God started dealing with me, it was a fire there. And once I got a taste of it, I couldn't get away from it. I had to have it. I had to have it. I would do anything I could to recreate it, man. If we sang a song and I felt the fire of God in worship, I'd go get that song. I'd go get that CD and I'd play it in my room by myself. I wanted to recreate that fire because I was so hungry for the fire of God. If I had to go to a concert, if I had to go to a revival, whatever it is I was going, even in my immaturity, not realizing I could bring God with me, not realizing I could start the fire myself, I was so hungry for the fire that I was trying to find the fire anywhere I could. Why? Because it was burning deep within me. And I tell you, when the burning deeps happen, that's God calling you out of the place you are, saying, son, daughter, I've got something better for you. And when that fire hits you, you'll be there and you don't care who sees you. You're like, God, I've got to have you. And I can remember standing in places where I'd be the only one with tears flowing down my eyes, or sometimes I'd be kneeling. I'd be the only one at the altar. Why? Because I tasted the fire. I got to feel the fire, and I could not get away from it. And I knew that God was pulling me. I knew God was calling me. And I had to go to it. See, when the Holy Ghost fire is burning deep within you, it pulls you to him. You don't ever always understand it, but you're like, man, I've got to have it. I've got to go after it. I want more of God. I understand there's something that God's trying to do inside of me. Look at verse 4 now. Look what happens in verse 4. Moses starts walking toward it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he replied, here am I. Now, we see something here that is pretty cool. God sets the bush on fire. But does God call Moses' name at first? No, he doesn't. The bush is burning. Moses doesn't hear his name. He just sees the fire, right? And then he starts walking towards the fire. And it's not until he makes his walk and journey and comes close to the fire that he actually hears God calls his name. See, some of you here, you're like, man, I really need God to speak to me. I really want God to call me. I need a personal touch from God. I need God to call my name personally. I need to feel like the Holy Spirit's talking to me directly. I'm telling you, when you draw close to the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of you, God will call you out. God will speak to you. I can tell you, I didn't know the right exegesis. I didn't know where Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, I was in the Bible. I couldn't have told you what order they were in, but I knew that when God was calling me out of the fire, when God was calling my name, I was like, yes, Jesus, I'm coming. Here am I, Lord. What do you want to do? God, I got to find you. God, I got to be near to you. The fire of God was burning deep within me, and I heard him calling my name from that place. I heard him calling me, Gene, I'm calling you out of the person you used to be. I've got a destiny for you bigger than what you see. I got a dream bigger for you than you could ever dream. I got something for you, and he calls you out, and that came out of the place of the fire. It came from the place of God. I don't understand everything, but I know this. I got to be in the place that's warm. I got to be in the place that's on fire for you. And out of that, God speaks to us. See, as we draw close to him, the fire comes and God calls our name. And he calls out to us. He calls you by name. Let's look at verse 5 now. Verse 5 says it like this. And when the Lord saw Moses, God said, do not come any closer. The Lord warned, take off your sandals, for you are now standing on holy ground. Now, but see, Moses sees the fire. The fire of God's burning the bush. We know it's the fire of God because it's not consuming the bush. The flames are just coming out of the fire, coming out of the bush, but not burning it up. That's odd. Let's go check it out. We start walking toward the fire. As he gets close to the fire, God calls to him, Moses, Moses. And he knows it's the voice of the Lord. He knows it. He hears the voice of God. And now we see something happening here where he takes off his shoes. Pastor Tom, come and give me a hand here. Now we see something here signifying this, that when he's taking off of the shoes, it says he took off his sandals, for he's standing on holy ground. Now, taking off of the shoes is signifying that you're standing on holy ground. But also remembering this in the Hebrew days, that taking off of the shoes on ground also had a twofold meaning as well. That when you had a piece of property that you had rights to, and I wanted to give those rights over to Tom, if I wanted to say either he's buying it from me or I just wanted to gift it to him as maybe a family member, whatever it is, I had rights to that land. And we had rights given to us. And if you wanted to give your rights away to somebody, you could do that. And how you did that was this. You would take off your right shoe and you would hand them the right shoe to the person that was taking over the property. And the person who was giving up their rights would take off the other shoe, put it in their hand, and they would walk away, signifying this, that I am giving up all rights to that property. I'm giving up all rights, and the rights belong to the new owner. Thank you, Pastor Tom. I'll just take my shoes off. I'm on holy ground this morning. All right. You see, there's something happening here. That he was taking off his shoes was not only because he was on holy ground, but it also was signifying this, that he was giving up his rights. You see, everybody wants their rights today, don't they? I mean, we got students fighting for their rights. They've been fighting for their rights to party since 1980. I'm telling you. It ain't changed. Now they're fighting for the right to use the bathroom with a different gender. It's all there. We got patients fighting for their rights. We got everybody's fighting for the right. Everybody's fighting for the rights. Everybody's got a right. Everybody wants their rights. We're a society that's all about your rights. That's part of living in democracy. We have it. It's a great thing. But let's be honest. We're a big society when it comes to rights, right? To the point where we even disrespect people in authority over us because it's our right to do that, right? You see, there's something that you come to God and say, God, when you want the Holy Spirit to burn deep within you, you say, God, I'm giving up my rights. I'm giving up my right to be right. I'm giving up my right to say I am in control. I'm giving up my right. God, everything I have belongs to you. I'm giving up my rights. Look at this. Look at this statement. When you come to God, you got to give up your rights. We must learn to give up our rights to God. God, I'm giving it up to you. I don't have to be right. God, you are right. God, I give up. Lord, it all belongs to you. Lord, my business belongs to you. My marriage, it belongs to you. My children, they belong to you. God, my heart, it belongs to you. God, your dreams, my dreams, God, they belong to you. I'm giving up my rights, God, to you. And when we give up our rights, we give God to move. We give God room to move in a way like never before. I'm telling you, some of you have been stuck a long time. God, when are you going to take the next move? God, when are you going to make the next move? And God's like, I'm waiting for you to give up your rights. I'm waiting for you to take off your shoes spiritually and give up your rights and let me take charge of this thing. It's your move. See, God's timing. He wants to move and he's going to work. But sometimes we got to get out of the way. And we got to give up and say, God, this is yours. God, it's yours. The rights belong to you. Now look at verses 6 and 7. We're getting ready to close here in just a second. Chapter 3, verses 6 and 7 says, I am the God your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at him. And then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen. Look at it. God told him now, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. Let me ask you this. When does God hear and when does God see? After Moses gave up his rights. Notice he didn't say that until after Moses gave up his rights. Some of you are like, God, I'm crying for you to move. God, I'm crying for you to change. God, I'm crying for you to do that. And I wonder if God's to say, I just wait for you to give up your rights. See, when you surrender totally, God, it's all yours. My whole life is yours. God, I'm giving it up. God, I'm giving up all my rights to you. That we free. God said, hey, I hear the cries of my people. I see the depression. I see the transgressions. And you're not alone. I am going to move because my timing is this. I'm waiting on you to move so that I can finish doing what I want to do. I had to raise somebody up. I had to wait for somebody to be ready to be moved. I had to wait for somebody to be ready to be moved out of bondage. I had to bring up somebody who's ready to go face Pharaoh. I had to raise up somebody who's ready to go to the fire. I had to raise up somebody who's ready to give up their rights. I had to raise up somebody, and it wasn't always the ideal person, but that's okay. It was a person who was just willing to say, God, I give up my rights to you. As musicians come, I'm going to read this last verse to you. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. And look what God says now at the very end of this. God reads, now listen, so I have come down to what? Rescue. Everybody say rescue. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out and lead them out. Lead them out of the Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. And look at this. Look at this statement here. Everything that belongs to you is coming out. When you begin to say, God, I'm giving up my rights to you. God, I want the Holy Spirit fire more than anything in my life. God, as I begin to pursue that fire in my life, I begin to hear you call my name. You begin to stir me up, God. And I say, God, I'm giving up my rights to you. God, I'm going to go. I'll be willing to go where you want me to go. I'll be willing to do what you want me to do. I'll be willing to say what you want me to say. God, I give up my rights. When we do that, God hears. And he says, I'm going to lead them out. What's lead them out? Everything the enemy has taken from you. God says, I'm going to bring that back to you and give it back to you. I'm going to call those things out. Some of you let the enemy been taking over your family. You let the enemy take away joy from you. You let the enemy take away from you and steal from you. And God's like, those things are coming out. Those things are coming back. See, they're not all gone. Some of you thought they were gone. Some of you thought you were going to have another chance. But I'm here to tell you, God restores. And God brings back, God, the second and third and fourth chances. If we'll just say, God, I'm giving up my rights to you. Those things that were taken from us and held captive are now returned back. Some of you had some things taken from you. God says, I'm ready to give them back to you. Just come up and give up your rights. I invite you to stand on your feet this morning. If you're here today, say, Pastor, anybody here today want to raise your hand? Say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready, man. I'm ready for the Holy Spirit to burn deep in my heart. I'm ready to give up my rights to God. Anybody here is speaking right to you? Okay. Yeah. We had the same response in the first service. I'm telling you, God's doing something very big. Yeah. This is what I want you to do. You don't have to do this. Maybe you want to. Maybe some of you just want to take off your shoes where you're at, like I did this morning. Just as a spiritual signal, saying, God, as a sign, I want to step out. Step out. I'm giving up my rights. You don't have to do that. If you don't want to, you don't feel like you don't have to do that. Some of you may have holes in your socks and you don't want to do that. I understand that. I had to make sure. I had a hole. I had to change my socks before I came to church today. Some of you may want to take off your shoe. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you'll come down and kneel at the altar. Some of you want to come and stand. But what I'm asking you to do this, if you say, God, I'm ready, but step out and come to the front. That's a sign saying, God, I'm stepping out. God, I want the Holy Ghost fire to burn deep in my heart. I want to give up my rights to God. I want to hear him calling my voice. Come to the front. Join me to the front today. As Pastor TJ leads us and the worship team leads us. Let's say, God, we want you. Come on, let's be a community of believers. Let's say, God, set us a fire so that people come and see you consuming us. You see you coming consumed, burning away the callous places of our heart, burning away the hurt places of our life. And setting us free that we can run to the fire, that we can go to the fire and hear God call our name. Come on, let's make it personal.
I wonder if you know this song, let me sing it out this morning.
Just lift your hands to the Lord. Say, God, burn deep within me. Come on. Someone say, God, I'm ready for you to move in my life. God, I'm ready for you to move in my life. God, I'm ready, Lord, to move to the fire. God, I'm ready to move to the place where you call my name. You call me out, God, to make a difference. I say, yes, Lord. God, I surrender my rights to you. God, I surrender my life to you. Come on, let's raise our hands in this place. Someone, I just dare you this morning. Say, God, I want more of you. God, I need more of you. God, I'm hungry for more of you. Come on, we don't get there by just a little small prayer. We got to say, God, we want you. God, we need you. God, we're hungry for you. God, raise a passion in the people. God, start with us. God, use us, God. Use us, God, to be a city set upon a hill. Lord, a light to this community, God. May the fire of God burn deep in our hearts. May it burn deep within us. May it call us out of the dark places. May it call us out of the places of addiction.
May it call us out of the places of hurt. May it call us out of the places of rejection. May it call us out of the places of mistakes. And God, may it put us on the path that God is saying. May He burn deep within us, God. God, may the hunger for You burn deep within us. Come on, I invite you, lift your hands one more time. Say, God, I want more of You. God, I need more of You. Declare His goodness. Come on.
Come on, let's sing it out.
Our God reigns.
Come on, let's press a little bit, church. We're going to go home in a moment. But let's just say, God, set a fire in me. Light a fire in me, God. Let it burn, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for all to see. Come on, stir it up, church, in this place. Come on.
Our God reigns.
Jesus, You reign over our lives, God. We surrender it now. We surrender it now in the name of Jesus. Come on, just like that, a little bit stronger. Come on. Come on, church, one more time. Shout it out. Come on.
Our God reigns.
Jesus, You reign over our lives, God. God, burn with shout it out, church.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Come on, say forever.
Forever.
Now come on, church. Release a sound of praise in this place. Come on, we can do better than that. Lift up a sound of praise in this place.
Hey, let the fire burn, okay? Let the fire burn. That's on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday. Say, God, let it burn. I pray you get up tomorrow morning. You say, God, let the fire burn within my heart today. Draw me near to the Holy Ghost fire in my life. Let it be a personal thing. And when we come together on Sundays, and you bring your fire, and I bring my fire, and they bring their fire, woo, we're going to bring a big fire together. We're going to experience what the Holy Spirit's going to pour out here in even a higher level, a higher dimension. When we bring that, say, God, I want the fire of God to burn deep in my heart. Are you ready? Are you ready ready to move? Amen. Let's do it. God bless. Come on, one more time. You got a hand of praise. Turn around, give someone a big high five or a hug and say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you. We love you. Thank you so much for being here, guys.